Yes, 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 yes. We are back. The Enough About Me podcast returns after a brief hiatus. It is back. And it'll be on every other week going forward. Once a week was too much work for me. I'm not going to lie to you. Between the show and other shit in my life, I'm not coming in and giving you guys a goddamn podcast every week. You're getting one every other week. It will be better. I promise you that. It'll be consistent. You're going to enjoy it. I'm going to enjoy it anyway. I want to have guests I want to have on. And it's going to be easier for Ben to book these guests. We can do a couple in a day. And then I can't have to worry about it doing it again for a month. For me, it's easier. It makes my life easier. I don't really care about your life. I care about mine. And it is easier. So I'm looking forward to doing the podcast. And right up the leadoff spot, and so we'll call this season two, why not? Enough About Me, is Gary W. Talent of the E Street Band. My dream is to have Bruce Springsteen on. Probably not going to happen. Do you have a guy who's in the E Street Band, the last original E Street Band member around, who's still in the band, is pretty goddamn good. And he was a great, great guy. We had a good conversation. We had a good time. He's in the area, by the way. He didn't come on here because he wanted to talk to me. He's promoting these shows on his first solo tour ever. Bruce let him go free for a little bit. May 4th, he's in Fall River at the Narrows Center for the Arts. A couple nights later, May 6th, Somerville, the Rockwell. Before I was like, am I going to go? Not go? Actually, listen to his record. I liked it, and I liked him. So I'm going to go and support that. If you like the E Street Band and you like Gary Talent, you should go as well. Enough About Me with Gary Talent. Enough About Me, I should add, by the way, is now sponsored by Milton's. And you know, I do lots of reads, and I believe in all these reads that I do. But I will say this. My relationship with the Miltons is great. I love the guys over there, Bill, Dana. I'm outfitted by them. I go all the time. They just dress us up for the White House to make Chris Curtis look like a human being. You cannot go wrong at Miltons. The store for men. My favorite place to shop. My favorite place to get clothes. And now the sponsor of Enough About Me. You hear this all the time. 66 shows. 66. A grown man, 66 shows. How embarrassing. How embarrassing.
Well, you know, I just found out a couple of years ago that my brother-in-law, who had kind of like kept it quiet, has been to over 300 shows. I can't believe, you know, he kept it secret for years.
Is there any part of you, and I think we'll just get going if you're okay to get going, or...
Oh, I'm going.
You're good. Okay, good. Let's go.
I'm in the middle of rehearsal.
Rehearsal. Okay, excellent.
And I'm just taking a little break. This is our final rehearsal before we hit the road.
You hit the road, and you. I'm looking at your page right here. I'm going to give you. You start in Illinois. Is that right?
We do. Yeah. Well, it's actually Illinois, Edwardsville, or Indiana, but it's a suburb of St. Louis.
Okay,
that's all I know.
Yeah.
So I call it St. Louis, even though it isn't.
Well, you have some history with St. Louis, right?
I'm sorry?
Didn't you have a St. Louis connection in your career, or am I wrong?
No.
I thought I was reading about you, no. and Chuck Berry or something that in a story the other day or something. I could be wrong. Who knows? Am I researching?
No. Well, I was just talking. I spoke with somebody, and I was just talking about the coincidence. I was coming from Denver. I was driving all the way from Denver, and I saw the sign for Wentzville as I was going through right before I hit St. Louis. And just on the lock, I hadn't spoken with Chuck in quite a while. And I just called him up, because he usually answers his own phone and the whole bit. But he didn't answer, and I was kind of disappointed. I was really thinking I might just take a little side trip and say hello. And then he died, like a month later. And it just made me sad. He lived a ripe old age.
Is it weird for you now when you're performing, like, and you're thinking, when you were younger, you probably thought these guys were older. Now you guys are performing at an age that, I'm sure when you started doing this, you didn't think, I'm going to be playing rock and roll music in my late 60s. I mean, there was no example of that back then, because it was the beginning of it, right?
Well, the blues guys kind of came, were brought out of retirement. They hadn't played for a while, but the folk music boom led to the blues boom, and a lot of these guys were found and brought back out and were still performing in their 60s, maybe even into the 70s. But yeah, it's weird. I was at rehearsal. We were just talking. I did a record with Sonny Burgess, who's one of the original Sun recording artists.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been 20 years ago. And I was saying, at the time, I guess Sonny was probably, mid-50s. And I was thinking, this guy's old.
Right, sure.
But the fact is he's still out there playing. And there's like two or three maybe even four of the members of his band that have been together since 1954.
Jesus.
That's crazy.
Well, you're the
Well,
you're the last remaining original member of the E Street Band, right? I mean, you are the you are the last one.
Well, depends on the last one still playing in the band.
In the band, yeah. Right. I'm sorry. Yeah, who still plays with the band? You're it.
Yeah.
46 years, 45 years.
Who's counting?
Right, well, okay, a lot of years. How's that?
Yeah, too many years. Now, yeah, that's unfortunate. Somebody.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
I should be proud of it. That's nothing I'm proud of. Something I'm thankful for that I, I'm still here. But yeah, I miss those guys every day.
We'll get to some Springsteen, E Street Band stuff later on, but I just want to kind of focus on, the album is Break Time, and obviously you're touring. You're going to be in Massachusetts. You're going to be in Fall River and in Somerville, both in early May. Fall River, May 4th at the Narrows Center for the Arts. A couple of nights later, Somerville at the Rockwell, which is a good spot. Is it weird? And I guess maybe you haven't done it. You know, the last time, so I'm going to go to one of these shows for sure. I'm going to hopefully go to the Somerville one. And the last time I saw you on stage, there were about, 70,000 people at Foxborough. At the one in Somerville, I'm guessing there's not going to be 70,000 people. Is it
70?
Well, I mean, I know it's either way it's music, but I mean, is there a different way you handle it? I mean, obviously that dynamic's different, but when you get up there at its core, is it really different?
Well, it's totally different.
Yeah.
But I don't know how different yet, because I haven't really done it yet. I have not been the front man. I've been a side man. For however, what would you say, 46 years?
Yeah.
So this is all very new to me, but, that's what's exciting about it.
I was going to say, it must be in a way exciting, though, right? I have to think.
Yeah, I don't know what would be easier to get up in front of 70,000 people who are all kind of, anonymous. Or like five people sitting right in front of you, like just staring at you. I think the five people would be more scary than the 80,000.
Do you ask a guy like Bruce, or even a guy like maybe like a Nils Lofgren, or somebody you know who's done it, to say, okay, how do you run a band? Well, how about the intricacies of running a band? What does it mean? Just the running the band aspect of it.
Well,
or no, I don't know.
I've been producing records.
Sure.
For all this time. So it's really very similar as far as rehearsal. It's like you're just going through the arrangements. You're tweaking things. You're getting things to sound the way you want to. And you try to, make everybody feel a part of it so they can bring their own thing into it. That's all I try to do. There's no written arrangements or anything. We just kind of like try to make it feel good.
That's
my approach to it.
Yeah, your musical tastes. It seems to me, just listening to the record, I got a chance to listen to it this morning. I really liked it. It seems like it's definitely more bent to say 40, 50 years ago than 10 or 15 years ago. Is that a fair description?
Well, absolutely. My idea upon doing it was to make a record that sounded like it might have been made in 1959.
Mm-hmm.
And I approached it that way. We recorded it to analog tape with very few microphones, everybody in the same room, as they would have back then. And the songs that I chose and the arrangements that I did of the songs were all meant to reflect that. So, yeah, that was definitely my reason for doing the record, was to really just pay homage to what really turned me on to music in the first place when I was a child.
I'm more with Gary Talent in a second. This is a pretty interesting part of the conversation that comes up right here. It ties in Springsteen, ties in his tour, Springsteen's tour, all this stuff. Sort of the life of a session guy, which I find almost most fascinating about Gary Talent. But first, Milton's, the new sponsor for Enough About Me. My guys at Milton's, Dana, Bill, all the guys are going to dress you to make you look good. You saw the pictures on Twitter of me at the White House. I usually look good. I look great. Jerry Callahan looks okay. Usually you look damn good. Chris Curtis does not look like a human being normally. Looks like a sloth. looked like $3 million in his Milton suit. Milton's will walk you through the entire experience. If you're a dope like me, you walk in looking like a dope. You walk out looking like $5 million at Milton's. It's the store for men. I am thrilled that these guys are sponsoring the Enough About Me podcast. Could not be happier. We've waited for a while to pick a sponsor. We've got the ones we want right now. Milton's is the store for men. They're going to make you look good. I guarantee it. South Shore Plaza, Braintree. I go to the one in Chestnut Hill Square. Chestnut Hill, Milton's, the store for men. Now back to Gary Talent. One of the things that I find interesting about sort of where you're at, obviously you've had a great career, successful career on your own and in a band. So you're on this tour now. It's been, you know, you had to delay the tour because of the River Tour. So let's say you go out, you're in the middle of this tour, you're kicking ass, you're in Belfast in May 30th. You get a call that night from Bruce saying, hey, I need you in the studio tomorrow. Hey, we're going to do this. You got to stop everything and go, right? I mean, is that just the life of a guy in a band like the E Street Band?
Well...
Or no?
No.
No, okay.
I mean, you know, the fact is we haven't really, we haven't worked that way in quite a while. It used to be, and that's probably a lot of the reason I didn't do more things like this that would really nail me down to a schedule. But no, that's not likely. It comes close sometimes.
Well, how does it work now? No. Like, how does it work now?
Well, now I go out to book a tour,
right?
And then I speak to an agent who says, well, do you know that Bruce already has that date booked? And I say, oh, that's good. So I don't find out on, you know, the day before. I can usually find out a little ahead of time through the internet that something's going on.
So you won't call like Springsteen himself and say, hey, I'm doing this. It doesn't work like that anymore?
Well, no, it doesn't. Basically, the understanding was that we weren't going to be working this year.
Right.
So I say, okay, great. And the fact is, well, Stephen and I got together and he says, well, okay, I'm booking a tour. You better book one, too. And Nils is doing the same. So it's going to be harder for him to call in three people than it is one. So there's solidarity in that.
Is it harder now to have a relationship with a guy like that when he's gotten so big in his own field and you've done your own thing versus like 25, 30, 40 years ago? I mean, and you have your family, he has his family. I guess it must be different now. Is it more business than friendship?
Well, I've got four brothers,
mm-hmm.
and it's exactly the same. You know, you may not speak for a year. I mean, it's terrible, but that's, you know, the time goes by so fast. But when you do, you pick up the conversations that you had a year ago. It's just like that. You know, we don't really necessarily hang out together and all that. But, you know, we are still brothers, basically.
Is there a part of you that feels, you know, I would think getting a chance to do something like this is an outlet creatively that you're not able to do when you're on a long tour like that and you're playing. Now, you guys obviously play 3 million different songs, but when you're in the background doing your thing, which is vital, obviously, to the band, but doing your thing, this must be such a different outlet creatively for you. That must be freeing, I would think.
Well, it's a lot more work.
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah, I get that.
I have new respect for the people that I've produced over the years, you know, making them, you know, making them keep doing something over and over again until they get it right. You know, it's, you got to memorize all these words. I swear next record, I'm not going to write so many words and, you know, you'll learn, but no, it's totally different. It's just different. I've always enjoyed my role as a sideman. I've enjoyed the anonymity all these years that, you know, I can go anywhere, do anything and not be recognized and still have that, that experience of playing in front of, like you say, 70,000 people. So it's a nice trade-off for me.
It is strange. Now, obviously for a guy like me, like I said, I've seen a million shows. I know you, well, but within this sort of dynamics of the band, when there was Clarence, and then there's Stevie, and then obviously there's Bruce's wife, and there's Max who was on TV, maybe it's purposely so, but you've always seemed, you know, also on the stage in the background and sort of have a quiet presence. Is that something you're just more comfortable with?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's basically the role that I chose and I was comfortable with and still am.
Yeah.
You know, the fact is I can still do what I did in my 20s. I don't have to, and nobody expects me to do somersaults across the stage because I never did.
Sure, but when you're the lead guy, and when you're fronting a band now on a tour like this, so when I see you in Fall River or in Somerville in May, yeah. There's going to have to be more of that, whether it's a showman or not, but it's obviously a different role.
It's a different role. And that will, remains to be seen. That's still developing.
Yeah. Is that part of you nervous is part of you nervous about that or?
Of course, but that's, I also, I equate the feeling as, excitement.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
Yeah.
To me. I mean, yes, you can call it whatever you want to, but I call it excitement.
I mean, are you still nervous when you go out, you know, like I said, I saw you at Gillette or at the Garden or whatever. Are you still nervous when you roll out there at 8:15 to start a show, or is it just kind of punching the clock and going to work?
No, I still get nervous. Yeah, that's just part of it. But that's, like I say, that's excitement.
Yeah.
Like, okay, we're gonna do it.
Right.
This is exciting.
But
this is what I've been waiting for all day.
Yeah.
You know, being on the road is really not that much fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would never do it if it weren't for that time in the day where I get to go out and play music and have these people react to it.
I would guess just reading about you over the years and knowing the music that seems that you like, I would guess, and you could correct me if I'm wrong, the favorite part of say, the E Street Band show for you now might be when Bruce pulls up one of these signs and pulls up a random song that you guys haven't even practiced. I would think for you that must be some sort of, you know, awakening within the show, sort of, okay, I'm not playing The Promised Land here, or I'm not playing whatever song I've played 3 million times. We get to do an old Chuck Berry song or an old Stone song or something like that. That must be, for you, kind of, I would think, fun within the show.
I think that's true for everybody. It's just the unexpected and the spontaneity that I think that's something that the band has always tried that has always been part of what we do. Even the songs that we've done 1,000 times, they're a little bit different every night. I mean, you're always looking for some other place you can take it. But yeah, it's something like that, you know, Stump the Band. It's pretty fun.
I mean, do you still feel like you're a bar band essentially or no? I mean, I've heard Springsteen say that.
Well, that's what we are. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's what we came out of and nothing's really changed, but that's, I'm proud of that. You know, we grew up playing all kinds of different music and, I think that's very important to, I don't know, maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But it's what we do, and that's what we enjoy doing.
Do you have the kind of relationship with him now where if there's a song or something that you're recording that you just think, you know what, this song's not working. It's just this isn't. Can you go to him and say, hey, Bruce, I'm not feeling this? Are you in there to play your part and go home? I mean, what is that like relationship like within, say, recording a song today versus 35 years ago or 40 years ago?
My job is to make the song work.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not working for me, you know, I've got to figure out if it's my part that's making it not work or if there's something else I can do. No, I mean, I have songs that usually the songs that I like the most are the ones that he kind of just says, we don't really need that one.
Like what? Like what?
No.
Any specific ones? Or?
Well, there's mostly the up-tempo things, the things that come, well, Hungry Heart.
Right.
Hungry Heart, he didn't want to do it. Oh, that's a throwaway. I said, no, man. Everybody, the whole band, it wasn't just me, the whole band just said, what are you kidding me? This is great. So, but he, you know, he pretty much does what he's going to do, and it's been that way for a very long time.
I mean,
and so you know, our job is to make it all work.
When he broke the band up, whatever. Now you know, 20 plus, obviously more than 20 years ago, I guess, when you got the call, and then you went down. You were in Tennessee. You had a real successful career producing records. Would you have been fine creatively, professionally? In your own life, if he had just never called you back to have a reunion? I mean, you had just gone on and done and produced your music and just had your own career. I mean, did you need that reunion, or were you okay without it?
I was fine without it. I had already moved to Nashville. I had begun my career as a producer and was pretty well established as a session player. And I got to play on records with Johnny Cash and Waylon Jennings and Willie Nelson. And, you know, it was a dream come true to me. So I've been very, very content. And also that's when I started raising a family. I never really expected to, never really wanted to be on the road and be an absentee father. So I was completely fine. But, you know, the fact is, we have a lot of history together. And so it makes it hard to say no. And I realize since the reunion, we've probably played more than we did for the whole time that we were together in 1971. You know, we've probably played three times more shows in the last 15 years.
How was the experience with Johnny Cash? Was that working on one of the Rick Rubin records, or was that before that?
No, that was I did a couple things with Johnny Cash, and for one of them, he wasn't even there. We cut the track. It was a duet between him and Joan Osborne, and Joan Osborne was there, and Johnny Cash did his part later. And another one was the Highwaymen, you know, the Highwaymen.
Yeah, Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings. Yeah.
Yeah, they re-released it, and they had a bonus track, which was a new thing, and I got to play on that. And, you know, they were all there in the studio at the same time. But that was pretty intimidating. I didn't, you know, it's not like we became fast friends or anything. It's like, you know, it's like looking at Mount Rushmore staring down at you.
Right. So when you get, I read Peter Ames Carlin's book. So when you get the call for the reunion tour, your first reaction is like, basically, you know, fuck this. I mean, it sounded like you were getting offered less than you were getting from the river, right? Some rep called you and you said, I'm not doing this shit, right?
Well, I hate to go into all that, but it wasn't something I needed in my life, and certainly the offer that was made from the business people we can say insulting. Yeah, it was insulting.
I mean,
but
that's not. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So I mean, I said no. You know, no can do. Not interested.
Yeah, it's a nice place.
Then, you know, but then Bruce stepped in and, you know, and decided that, you know, he needed to step up.
Right.
But, you know, the business people will always try to, you know, try to do the business the way they do it. So, it wasn't that big a deal. It's just kind of, it's the business of it.
It seems like every music book or documentary I've seen, whether it's Bruce or you guys or Petty or the Eagles or anybody, there is always within this plot somewhere a business guy trying to screw somebody over. Is that just the way the music business is? I mean, I guess essentially it's what every business is, but it seems more crystallized. It does seem more crystallized in the music business. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but it just feels that way.
Well, you know, Ron Wood was in the Rolling Stones for 25 years before they made him a partner, and they didn't make him a partner until Bill Wyman left. A friend of mine has been playing with the Eagles for at least, well, since, who got kicked out.
Is it Stuart Smith? Stuart Smith?
Stuart Smith.
The guy who replaced Felder.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's 20, that's 15, with, 15, with 15 years maybe, no?
At least.
Maybe 20,
least.
Yeah. And
Stuart's a good pal, and I was very happy for him when he got the gig. And, you know, he's just a side man. But, you know, that is the business. I auditioned for the Rolling Stones when in 92 when Bill left.
Really?
And a good friend of mine, Daryl Jones, actually got the gig. And, you know, still, you know, we all thought that, you know, we were joining the Rolling Stones if we got the gig, but it's not. You know, Daryl is just kind of like, you know, he's put in the back, and, you know, so at least I'm a sideman, which is actually a band. You know, I mean, right. I might not be on the record covers, but you know, the guys in the band, we know who we are.
What's the experience like of trying out for the Rolling Stones? Is it literally Jagger and Richards are sitting there with their legs crossed, sitting there saying, play for me? Or is it, I mean, what is that process?
No. Mick actually called and said, you know, this is not an audition. We're just going to get together and play. Of course, it's an audition.
Right.
And the fact is, I was the first one that they saw. And so they hadn't played together in about 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So I walked in, and they were pretty dreadful. It's a good thing that I was the one auditioning, because if it were them, I would have passed.
Right.
They were out of practice. But it was a kick. They were all very gracious, really nice. And I think by the time they got to the 50th person, they forgot who who came in first. You know, and Darryl Jones is also a terrific player, and. I've met Darryl when he played with Miles Davis, and Charlie Watts was a big jazz fan. As soon as he heard that, you know, this guy played with Miles Davis, we want that guy.
Right. Is it the kind of thing when you try for the Rolling Stones, you have to give like Springsteen a call and say, hey, just a heads up, if you're looking to do this, I'm out. I'm joining the Stones, or you just go and do it?
We just go and do it.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a long shot.
Sure.
But, you know, it's not every day that Mick Jagger calls you up.
No.
Invites you to just jam a little bit. He bought me a first class ticket both ways.
Not
it's
bad.
Not a case where he, you go there in a limousine and they send you home in a cab. You know, they were very, very great. They were very great. And it was a great experience.
So you're rehearsing. You're kind of take a break from rehearsals as we speak right now. What is the so when I go see you in Fall River in May or in Somerville in May? We'll give out those tour dates as well later on. When I sit down for this show, what am I getting? What kind of show am I going to see?
Well, if you hear the album,
mm-hmm.
you'll have an idea of what the show is going to be. It basically, it's things that make sense for what we're doing. It's there's a lot of Cajun influence. A lot of rockabilly, a lot of New Orleans R&B, just basically that's the band,
right?
And you know, the covers that we've chosen to do to fill out the shows, they all try. I'm trying to make it all make sense. I'll be doing covers of some things that I've produced in the past, and like I say, there's things that make sense as part of my career other than the solo record.
I was going to say, you prepare for that drunk asshole who screams out for Rosalita or Backstreets or something like that. I mean, that's going to happen at some of these shows.
It's going to happen, sure. It's going to happen. And it's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I mean, you're laid back and pretty content with what you've done. I would just, at what age do you say... when Bruce calls and says we're going to do this tour again and we're going to Europe and Australia, and do you just say, you know what, Bruce, I just want to stay home. I just want to hang out and stay home. Is that going to happen, or as long as he's calling, you're going, or what's the plan?
One day at a time.
Yeah,
I feel great now. I mean, I'm 67 years old. I never expected to live past 30. You know, so every day is special.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I don't know what age I'm going to say. I don't feel like doing this anymore because it's still fun.
Yeah, you're enjoying it more, or less, about the same as say 30 years ago.
Definitely more.
How come?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, because we're much more sure of ourselves. You know, the band has grown to respect one another, to really understand each other. And that really is the only way that you can play as tightly as we do. You really learn to communicate through the music. And the only thing that can do that is time and respect and just enjoying each other's playing. And we've gotten to that place, and that's a very special place to be.
It took a while to get there?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But that's the life of a band, right? I would guess. I mean,
that's it. That's why bands don't last very long.
Right, right. And you guys took a long break, and then you're back at it again. And you're on this tour now with... So how many people are in this band when you're out here touring with your group?
There's, There's seven of us, counting myself.
Okay.
So it's a pretty large band, but I really enjoy the accordion and the fiddle. That's really part of, we could probably go out to guitars, bass, and drums, but I like having the extra instrumentation, and I think it kind of without it, it doesn't reflect anything unique about the sound that I'm trying to create.
And the tour goes right now, anyway, I'm looking at it, goes through June in Europe. If it goes well, you're going to add some more dates. Is that the plan? Or
one day at a time.
One day at a time. Is okay, and how about, a little nugget for the Springsteen crowd out there. What, you said nothing this year. Do you have any idea at all what's next or no?
Absolutely not.
None.
I mean, I'm still anxious to hear this solo record that he's done that I've been hearing about for 3 years. Four years, five years.
And it's,
I haven't heard it yet, and I'm sure it's great, and I'm going to enjoy hearing it, and I'm curious to see what he puts together, whether it's a solo tour or whatever. But anybody's guess is as good as mine, and probably better than mine.
You know what? I admire...
I really don't give it any thought.
I admire your laid-back attitude, because I was you... And I saw that other band touring in 92, 93, the Seeger Sessions band. And I'd be like, you know what, Bruce? What the hell? Like, I want to go out there. I want to tour. I want to make some money. What are you doing with these guys? You know I'm better than these guys. But that never crosses your mind.
No. I've been very content with the projects that I've done. And it's still interesting. And it's still, there's still a lot of things to do.
Excellent.
A lot of new things to do. And make new friends and keep the old. Mm-hmm. The old is the gold, and
right.
And everything else is just icing on the cake. What? And there's a lot more icing.
Yeah.
Icing is very sweet.
Is there any song, "Dancing in the Dark," "Born to Run," when you see in the set list, you know what you have to do it the next time? You think, oh my god, I got to play this thing again, or is it just you're ready to go?
Yeah, everybody's got their favorites, but usually I say, my favorite song is the one I'm playing at the moment.
Right. But you do agree with me, Darkness is the best album you guys have ever made, right? We agree on that?
No.
What do you mean, no? What? What's better?
Well, they're different. Better or different,
Well, what's the only, if you could take, Desert Island, one of them, which one are you taking?
I wouldn't take either one.
Which one are you taking?
I'm not taking either one.
What do you mean? Well, any of them?
I'm taking Buddy Holly.
No, you're only allowed one Springsteen album that you worked on. Only one. That's it. That's all you can listen to for the rest of your life. That's it. We're not allowing any of the other stuff.
All right. The River.
No, the River's
a double album.
Listen, that's true. It's more music.
It's a double album.
You can skip over Crush on You, maybe, but that's okay.
I mean, my money.
Yes. Although, it's a great record you guys made. It's underappreciated. It's Magic. That's like 10 years old now. That's a great record.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I enjoy that, too. I don't really try not to pick favorites,
Yeah,
I can't pick favorites. People are asking me, what's my favorite Bruce song? I don't have a favorite Bruce song.
Yeah, but you must have a favorite piece of work you did on a Bruce song, no or no?
No.
No?
I'm great on everything.
Absolutely. There's no question. It's consistent greatness. There's no doubt. And the go ahead.
That's just a little joke.
I understand.
No, I'm...
You are the heart and soul of the E Street Band. Just say it. It's okay. Accept it.
That's not the case. But I've enjoyed my career. I've had a lot of freedom, and I really appreciate that. And it's been a very great way of expressing myself. And I really haven't had a need to do anything as far as songwriting or anything up until now, where it's kind of like, okay, it's now or never.
Right. Well,
so,
the record is
it's now.
Yep. Well, excellent. The record is Break Time, which I enjoyed. The tour will bring us into this area, to the Boston area, in early May. I'll tell you again, May 4th in Fall River, Narrows Center for the Arts, May 6th, Somerville, the Rockwell, which I'm going to be at, Gary. I'm looking forward to it. And then all the way on the East Coast and into Europe. And then who knows? Like you said, you know, Bruce could be back next year. Gary could be touring later on. One day at a time is his attitude, which I like and I appreciate. The great Gary Talent of the E Street Band. I should say, by the way, a Rock and Roll Hall of Famer. Sorry, I didn't mention that earlier. I know you want that in your to be introduced every time we say your name, right? Rock and Roll Hall of Famer, Gary Talent.
That's still kind of strange, but I'm running to accept it.
Good, good. So go back to your rehearsal. Thanks again for giving us some of your time, and I will definitely see you in May at those shows. I'm sure they'll be great.
I look forward to it, Kurt.
All right, Gary, I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye. All right, thanks again for listening to the Enough About Me podcast. Actually, you know what? I'm really not thankful at all. You should be thanking me. You get this shit every week, these great podcasts, totally free. Do me a favor. Would you go to iTunes, download it, go to Stitcher, do the same, and leave a rating, leave a review. That's where you can help me out. This podcast is going to be number one again. I guarantee it. And you're going to help me along with the process. So for that, I guess at the end, maybe I will thank you. There's a lot of thank yous going back and forth. Here's the point. Fuck you.